Welcome, everyone. I'm really excited to be chatting to our friend Saba today. Saba is a lifelong cook and a food lover, and she's going to tell you more about herself.
Hi, hello. Yes, I am. Thank you for Lara for the introduction, and I confirm I am a food lover indeed. And I am also a yoga teacher and a meditation teacher, and that I think is what we will be discussing today, the connection between food and yoga. Yeah, I think it might look a little bit awkward for people who are not practicing the two things, to see a connection between food, yoga, and meditation. But I would like to actually start telling a little bit of how it started for me to see the connection between the two. Well, I became a yoga teacher. I started to practice yoga about 20 years ago. And I remember that when I did my first classes, I attended the first classes, my teacher at the time, he was holding a meditation class after the yoga class. And meditation was not such a big thing as it is now in these days, but still, you know, I knew about this word and I was interested. So I try and stay for the post yoga class. And I joined this group, I set up. And first of all, of course, I was in pain for the sitting position. And second, it was very, very difficult for me to grasp what was this meditation thing. And the teacher was saying, yeah, you just try to empty your mind and to shut down your mind and your chattering. And that was absolutely impossible. Actually, my mind was going all over the places. It was thinking to the most, really to the most strange things. And from that time, it took me about a good 15 years to have an idea of what meditation is. And I continued to, you know, to try practicing and sitting down by time to time in different, with different teachers, a different tradition and so on. But then the first time that I said, ah, yes, this is maybe what they are talking about. It was not sitting down in meditation, but it was in a, it was cooking while I was cooking. And that happened because while I was cooking, and that is something that has always been with me in the kitchen, my mind goes into a state of absorption, which is I am completely immersed in what I'm doing. So if I am chopping a carrot, I am completely 100% with the carrot. Or if I am you know, boiling a soup or whatever, I am there, I am really into the pot. And that gave me, that has always given me a total relaxing effect. So that, to the extent that when I am agitated, or maybe when I am sad, or you know, when my mood is low, I know that what I have to do is going into the kitchen, open the fridge, take out whatever is inside and start cooking. And that will help me so much into uplifting and changing my mood. And that is because actually that is what meditation does. It just empty your mind and your mind becomes focused with what you are doing for meditation. Okay, you are there, and so you try to empty your mind and to just maybe connect with your breath, focus on your breath. And slowly, slowly, after a lot of practice, your mind will start to become silent. And at the same time, when you cook, if you really focus with what you're doing, that in turn help your mind to become absorbed. And when our mind is with itself, or with just one thought, it is happy, because the natural state of our mind is not to be agitated, but it is actually to be still and to be calm. So when I realized that, actually cooking I'm pushing here a little bit, but it's a way of meditating. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I'm pushing because traditionally meditation, in traditional meditation, your mind should really be, you know, you shouldn't have any external tool to reach that silent of the mind. And cooking is still something outside of yourself. But let's say that it is something that really can work as a mindfulness tool, so something that helps the mind to calm down and to be absorbed in one thing. So that is one, for sure, one connection between, you know, between yoga and meditation and cooking. And when I say yoga now, again, I need to specify something, because most people think of yoga as a physical exercise, and that is how yoga is mostly practiced in the Western world, not only in the Western world, actually also in India by these days, where it originated. But actually, what yoga is something much, much bigger than physical practice, which in Indian terminology is asana, so the position that we do with our body. Yoga is it's a philosophy. That is what yoga is. It's one of the seven main philosophies in the Indian tradition, and meditation and asana is just a small part of this philosophy. So asana, which are the position that we do with our body, are a small part of yoga. Meanwhile, meditation is actually the aim and the goal almost of yoga. So is we sit down in order to start to calm down our mind, to then be able to silence our mind, and from there to enter into a long process. And we use our body with a physical position at the beginning to start this process.
So let me just round up a little bit from what you've been saying. I think that the yoga philosophy is obviously, it's very vast. But in terms of how it has influenced us here in the West, it's mainly to do with relaxation. So when you talk about the physical aspect, I suppose most people can relate to that. But you also said some other fascinating things, which is how that then relates to food. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily link some kind of relaxation with food. And, you know, the reason why I think is very varied, but I think one of the main reasons we don't associate mindfulness and relaxation with food is because we live in a society where everything needs to be done quickly. So that becomes the pervading, you know, the overall way that we do things. You know, we want to go out, we get dressed quickly, we want to have lunch, we have a quick bite, we want to take our kids to school, we go through the school run really quickly. This is the way that our mind has become positioned. And my observation, especially from some of the things that you said, which has triggered a few thoughts in my mind, Saba, is that we are permanently rushing around to do things. And because we're rushing around to do things, some of the things that we can enjoy in life, we seem not to be able to enjoy it. For example, you mentioned about the cooking. You actually said that it's not necessarily, strictly speaking, a yoga thing. But what it has done, what it does highlight is that even when we are cooking, we are busy thinking about other things. And sometimes it's very hard then to enjoy your food, because the most delicious kinds of food I have enjoyed in my life has been the kind of slow cooking type of food, you know, slow cooked meats or slow cooked chicken. And the tastes and the flavors that come from that kind of cooking it's just amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. And I would add something to what you said, that it's when we are distracted, when we are in the kitchen and we are distracted by something else, it becomes not only we are missing a big opportunity, but it is also very, very dangerous. Kitchen is one of the most dangerous places in the house. And for instance, when I was doing my cooking training course, it was very interesting to see what was happening to the student when they were not mindful about their cooking.
Oh, tell us some of that.
If someone is light-minded or distracted, it is very, very easy to get hurt, to chop your fingers, to put the wrong ingredient inside, you know, the wrong pot, to ruin something that you have been cooking for maybe 1.5 hours. At the last moment, you just put maybe, sugar instead of salt because there was no sugar in our kitchen, but maybe, you know, a completely wrong herbs inside a soup, for instance. The final recipe lack of the depth and of the love at the end, mm-hmm. Of the care. If the person who is cooking is distracted, that will of course affect the final result of that dish. Maybe also the person has also put the right ingredients, but it lack of the care of the attention, and that ruined completely the depth of the dish. And at this purpose, there is a very interesting role. For instance, in a Buddhist monastery, and that is the role of the Tenzo. So the Tenzo basically is the person who his role is to prepare the meal for the community of the monastery. And his function can be seen as a very simple function, which is, you know, to be in the kitchen and to take care of the food. But it can be seen also as a very high and respected function. Why is that? Because he can, if he does his job correctly, as it should be done, he is expressing what is, according to Buddhism, is called the Buddha Dharma, which is the how things should be done.
Mm-hmm.
So, in, you know, according to according to Zen, for instance, how things should be done. So it becomes how he should act in a kitchen, and how a person who is cooking or who is eating, and maybe we come to that later, but how a person who is cooking should act and be in the kitchen. It should be awake. It should have, it should cook with an awakened mind. And the Tenzo, this monk who is preparing and cooking the food for all the other monks, he should be doing a constant effort to serve the meals that are full of variety and that are appropriate to the need and the occasion. And that, again, it will enable everyone to practice with their body and their mind without hindrances. So the role of the Tenzo is highly, highly important. Now in nowadays we are, as you said, we are always rushing, and we come back from home from our job. We come home, we arrive in the kitchen, we are still, you know, with rushing, and we rush to prepare a meal. And sometimes we end up eating that meal in front of the TV, and we are lacking so much. We are lacking a big opportunity. We are lacking the opportunity of taking our time to calm down our mind, to be with ourselves when we cook, to be with the ingredients. And then we are also lacking the opportunity to taste that meal that we have prepared, and that put us and our stomach as well in a big mess. And that is, I think, you know, part of the big mess that we are now in terms of health, in terms of health for our body, and in terms of health also for our mind. And that is definitely reflected, you know, in our life. And the food, again, the food is so important, so vital, because the food is what actually goes inside our body and is the fuel that we have. So if we put inside the wrong food, of course, our body doesn't function in the right way, and our mind will be affected. So how we prepare that food and how we eat that food is extremely important, I think. So I think that if we really wanted to start to, you know, to take care of ourselves mentally and physically, food and cooking should be one of the first action that we do, and we approach in a proper, slow, attentive, careful way. And we should just take the time to, you know, to perform the cooking in a mindful way, including the preparation, including being at the table. So, for instance, no TV on the table. One of the worst things that we can do is, for instance, listening to the news while we are eating, which is what I think we or our parents have all done. I mean, I grow up in an Italian family, And for so we were having lunch and dinner together, and lunch and dinner was the moment when we were seated, all the three of us, when we were listening to the news, which is probably one of the worst things that you can do, because you have all this negative news being announced, and you are just putting your food inside your mouth, inside your body, together with all the negative emotion and negative news of the world that goes inside your body and affect the food that goes there. So that is one thing that we should really always avoid, and that also prevent clearly, beside being having a negative effect on our digestion, but that also is an obstacle to taste the food and to connect with the food, which means connect with the nature. And that connection again is something that is extremely important, because we most of the time we forget that we are part of that nature. And when we are eating, when we are putting a food inside ourselves, is like to it's one of the biggest opportunity to connect with nature, to connect with the people who has farmed the food, who has then harvested the food, but going back with the ingredient, with the raw ingredient, so with nature. Recently, I have attended as a student to a cooking lesson from one of my teacher, and she is a Japanese woman who does Japanese macrobiotic cooking, and she was telling us about how many teeth we have, how many tooth we have in the mouth, and their function, the different function according to the different tooth. Mm-hmm. And she said, so do you know how many tooth we have? And we said, yeah, about 32. And she said, right, so, you know, the frontal one are made as a Japanese knife, and they are for cutting vegetable. And then we have the canin, four, which are for, so the frontal are eight in total, and the canin are four, which are for animal food. And then we have the other tooth that are like, basically like milling, like grinding, and those are for cereal, for grains. And that also gives us an idea of the proportion of the food that that should be in our plate. So a very small amount of food should be animal food, a bigger amount should be grains and vegetable. And the 32 tooth are there, and they tell us that we should basically chew roughly 32 times for every chunk of food that we put in our mouth.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot, exactly. And she said, and when we do that, if we are able to do that, our body will be happy, and our mind will be calm. And so, yeah, I was saying if we do that, I don't know if you miss what I say, but if we do that, we are able to reestablish the connection between our body and nature, so to ground our body. And that at the end is what really, you know, food and cooking and yoga as well is to ground ourselves, to calm down, and to reconnect. Mm-hmm. To reconnect. So practicing yoga is really reconnecting to ourselves, and cooking mindfully is really reconnecting with nature, reconnecting with connecting with the food that we are working with, which means reconnecting with nature. And that is such, you know, such an important thing in our life. Probably is one of the things that we have completely lost the connection with.
Yeah. And, you know, just to round up everything, earlier you mentioned that food is fuel, and it absolutely is. Food is also medicine, because from everything that you've been saying, we can see the importance of treating food in the right way. And food is medicine, because we need medicine to help us be who we are and help us be well in our minds, in our body, and even, you know, the right spiritual food for our soul. So I think that food is fuel, food is medicine, and the way that we treat food makes a big difference. So we've seen an increase in the trend of people wanting to make their own foods. You know, they want to use their hands and their senses to create their own food themselves, rather than maybe going shopping to buy a pre-made food. And that's all very interesting, because I think overall it seems to be that there is an awakening of people wanting to reconnect with their food, and using some of these techniques that we can glean from yoga is going to be very important as well. So thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for giving us an insight into what it means to be mindful about our cooking. And we're very much looking forward to having you back at another time, maybe to give us a bit more information also around different types of macrobiotic techniques that we can use in our everyday cooking. And hopefully also see you in class.
Sure. Yes.
That
yes.
Great.
Yes, and we can do a little bit of meditation and cooking and maybe yoga. Yeah. All yeah. together. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
It's wonderful, as always, to have you listening in on our podcast, and hopefully it'll be your companion in the kitchen. If you like this podcast, please do share it, subscribe to it, and repost where possible. And we'll look forward to seeing you in class. Have a wonderful time cooking. Bye for now.